Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Ella Watts. And on today's show, we're going to take an in-depth look into our LGBT plus community.
Yes, we're going to be talking to Simon and Lara and Sheila about being part of the BAME community, plus being part of the LGBT plus community.
All of that and more in the next hour.
Right here on Shout Out. See, I didn't do the Muppets this way, did you notice?
You didn't. I think we're very pleased about that.
Oh, but it was funny. But I made a lot of people laugh anyway. I got lots of messages from people saying, oh, that was really funny.
Everyone loves a bit of the Muppets.
Yeah. Yeah, we educated you in what the theme tune was, didn't we?
No, I knew what the Muppets was.
She's educated, Andy.
Educated, I like that word.
It's just a more distant memory. I mean, everyone knows that the Muppets Christmas Carol is the best film ever made. But apart from that, you know, my knowledge is a bit lacking. It's fine.
Oh, dear, I don't know. So anyway, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Tara.
Hello.
That was very quiet.
Yeah,
is that me or you?
I don't know. Oh. There we go.
Tie, tie.
I'm in.
You've been
the
busy
room.
Girl today.
Yeah, London and back to Bristol.
So, did we all have a nice bank holiday? It's lovely to have 3 days off, wasn't it?
Yeah. Recharge the batteries.
Oh, you work 2 days a week and then the rest.
Yeah. You were tired, aren't you?
Went to Kent. And I have a friend in Kent, and I have to say, you know, all due respect to everyone who lives in Kent, but my friend lives in the Medway, and he's been telling me for years that it's not that awesome there, and I always thought he was exaggerating, but I got to his town, and there was a shop on the platform called Snacks on the Tracks, with an X on both words.
Nice.
And it was all boarded up and covered in graffiti, and I was kind of like, oh dear, okay.
Oh, that was the best
bit.
It was
maybe not, yeah. No, we were walking down the high street, and they said, this is where there was a massive garbage fire. That was interesting.
Oh, lovely.
It's like, okay.
Okay.
Anyone interested in brightening up a neighbourhood, go to Kent. They need it. They need you. Go.
The Garden County of England.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yes, you know, I mean, maybe I just saw the wrong side.
Yeah, there is nice bits. There are nice bits, and it's not. Yeah.
Don't go to places like
I can't really
Margate.
Comment. I've never been to Kent, at least not as far as I'm aware.
It's the Medway is the problem. Margate is in the Medway. Yeah. And apparently,
well,
even
the
Isle
of Thanet has been run down a little bit.
Yeah.
Not the best subject for a Southwest Broadcasting radio show.
No, talking east.
I don't know, I feel like the Southwest loves to talk down the east.
We're just expanding our remit.
Yeah, when we conquer the world, it's...
Yes, well, we are prolific.
So, anyway, right, we ought really to get some events, I suppose, shouldn't we? Are you both doing events, or is it just you, Tara?
No, Tara.
Just Tara. Me. Oh, yay. Cool. Okay, here we go. Now, I am betting, because it's that start of the season, there's a pride in today.
There is a pride in today, but that's not my first item. Oh. I thought I'd start most with the Chronicle, the first one that's coming. So there's the Bristol Beer Fiestas this weekend.
Oh, yes.
And I thought that's quite important, really, you know, the start of the Old Market season. So that's the 2nd to the 4th of June.
Yes, yeah, you always know? Always a huge event, the Beer Fiesta. And have you ever been down? It's open to everyone. Sorry, Tara's pointing at herself. That's really good radio, Tara.
I'm probably a Goldilocks sometime rather than a beer, yeah.
So I don't think... I've never thought about that.
There you go.
So, no, you know what Old Market's like. It's
so exceptional. It's such a lovely place. Yeah.
And they all get involved. All the places, even the ones that aren't officially involved, quite often end up the whole load of big hairy men in it.
Yeah, so, no, I might head down that way.
I know in recent years, the Old Market Assembly tends to get rammed because they all go there for food and the like.
Oh, well, there's some really good food in that place.
It's amazing. Yeah, and the bakery next door is lovely too.
That's my regular. I love going there.
Do you?
Yeah.
So, do you know what's going on as part of the Bear Fiesta?
Yes, I've got a list here. Yeah,
sorry, I will be
so
quiet.
We start off on tomorrow, the Muscle Photography, 2nd to the 3rd of June.
James Critchley. Yes.
Yeah, and that's on 6 Westgate Street, Old Market. We've then got the Bear Fiesta on the 2nd to the 5th, and that's at the Bristol Beer Bar, funnily enough. Yeah, so we've got Pop Nation Bristol Beer Fiesta launch party is tomorrow at 9 p.m. Yeah, we've then got the Social Hub on Saturday at 2 in the afternoon. We've then got Privates on Parade with Festish Dancing.
You said that rather sheepishly.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm just...
You seem very worried about that one, Tara.
No.
It's military theme, I believe, not get your tackle out.
No, that's all right. I'm not... And there's a Raven June party, which is on the Sunday. And there's the... what else have we got?
There's usually a market. It's part of the Bear Fest.
Yeah,
they're doing one this year.
Yeah.
So Heartsack are usually there selling all their t-shirts, some of them are hilarious.
Yeah, so maybe I should get a t-shirt. Yeah, maybe I should go down and educate myself a bit better.
I couldn't actually tell you what it says on the radio, I'll get in trouble. But they have got some very funny ones.
Okay. I'll go down and have a look, and if I see one that suits me, I'll choose one. So that's my first thing. And the next thing was my pride.
There's your a pride?
Yeah, so Gloucestershire Pride's on next
your
week.
Prize?
Well, no. But it's just the start of the season, isn't it? I mean, yeah. You've got to remember that.
Technically not, because Birmingham was last weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was last weekend.
It looked like an absolute hoot.
It really did. I wanted to go, although I don't know, I just recently watched the new series of Sense8 and got to see them all at Pride in Sao Paulo. And since then, that's just made me think about prides in hot countries.
It's a long way to go for the weekend.
Yeah. Well, you say that, but I feel like it'd be worth it.
So Sydney Mardi Gras is supposed to be out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of Gloucesterbourne, of course, it's only 40 minutes up the motorway from Bristol. It's not that far. I'm going because I'm doing Part of the Mind.
So are you
going
to get some recordings for us?
And I'm going to get some recordings while I'm up there as well.
So if you see Tara walking around with a microphone, go say hello.
Yeah, I'm going to, yeah, I will come and talk.
Obviously they won't recognise her, but it's the one with the Scottish accent.
Yeah. Just listen very carefully in the crowd. You know, prides are normally quite quiet affairs, okay. So you can figure out.
I'm 6'2".
You say that, all our photos are on the website. So you can see what we look like.
That's a good point. Just stalk us online. Yeah.
She'll also be looking for the one walking around finding the cheapest coffee bar.
Yeah, that'll be me. So there's two things on.
Not gin and tonic then.
Yeah, they've got some fundraising things going on. So they've got a stripper night tomorrow night at the New Inn. So that's
cool.
That's one option. And there's a quiz night on Monday at the Station Hotel in Gloucester as well on the 5th. And then the following Saturday on the 10th, they've got from 11 till 7 p.m. Yeah, and at the... So we've got a Tina Cousins.
She's lovely, Tina Cousins.
Yeah, Susanna D.
I remember years ago, Tina Cousins actually came down into to the Shilling. She was just on a night out and she got recognised. She went, oh, go on then, give me a microphone. They gave her a microphone and she actually sung live.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, lovely singer.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We've then got, say, Susanna D. She's singing as well. And we've got... I'm trying to see the other ones. Freddie Parker, who's a X Factor finalist.
Come on, youngster. So, yeah, tell us which one?
X Factor 2016. So yeah. So that
no good asking me either. I do not watch that show.
And then they've got an after party as well. So that's pay, but the park's free.
Cool.
So, and if you want to know what the weather's like before you go to these events, it's going to be quite cloudy on Friday.
In Gloucester or here?
Lows here. Oh. And the weekend, across the southwest actually. Saturday is going to be beautiful on the west coast.
And if you're listening on Sunday and we were wrong, we're very sorry.
No, sorry,
blame it on Steph.
Excuse me, this is shout out, we're never wrong.
There's a probability.
We're just differently correct.
Probabilities, it's not definitive, it's weather.
We're right in an alternate reality. There's a universe somewhere where that was true. And we were thinking about that one. It's not our fault that you thought of this one. Yes. You know, really, I mean, that was just your bad thinking.
I will say, though, what I did think was really, really nice was the Britain's Got Talent final was supposed to broadcast tomorrow night. It's sometime this weekend, and they're moving it so that the concert that's on for Manchester doesn't clash.
Yes, yeah.
Because the BBC are broadcasting that live. Perhaps it's Sunday. I think I might be getting confused. I can't remember when it's on. But I thought it was really sweet that they were actually going to move it because they were like, you know, that's a thing that's all been done for charity. We don't want to interfere. We'll broadcast another night. So
yeah,
which I thought
was
really good of the ITV to do that.
And that's been organised the next no time, isn't it?
I know, like 9 days.
It's amazing.
Days.
Incredible.
There is an interview on the BBC with the guy that organised. It. He said it was one of the most fraught things he's ever done in his life. I was thinking, I'm not surprised. Can you imagine putting on something the size of Pride in 9 days?
Think of the achievement he's feeling now. Wow. Yeah, way to go.
Although they're having real issues with tickets out, aren't they? eBay are coming to pull them down, and Ticketmaster are cancelling them, and the classic. It's like, why?
Best and worst of humanity. Yeah. You always see both extremes.
Well, Pride is free, so you don't have to be.
Risk of Pride is.
You can buy your wristbands; they're available now as well. I saw that was being.
They're selling out of a lot of stuff actually. So if you are going, you want to snap them up quite quick.
Yeah, because we're not.
So the Friday night's not free, is it? But that's a huge event in the amphitheatre. Yeah. A special one. They've never done that before.
Really?
Well, it's getting bigger, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a dog show, which I'm.
Oh, yes, we love the dog show. Yes. My little girl's getting a bit too old to take now. We did take her one of the years, and she just ran around like all excited.
No, I might get my Samoyed a washing set before we go out.
Nice. Cool. Okay, thank you very much, Tara.
No problem, thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I like that one. That's Bastille. Pompeii. So I heard it for a while, so I thought I should have it in.
I love it. Those ones that end up in all the AMVs on YouTube. Also, like, radio.
In all the what?
Audio music videos.
Oh, right. Okay. So I watch a lot of... Is it Vivo, they're called?
Yeah.
They do a lot of those, don't
Gotta
they?
Love them. So. Not that we, recommend any particular platform over any other, although I do more Vine.
Other services are available, as I believe they say.
R.I.P. Vine. So our next section, we're going to be talking about people of colour in the LGBT plus community. And this is something that traditionally, especially the white LGBT plus community, can do in a not awesome way. So we decided that we would actually talk to members of the BME community so that they could speak for themselves. In the studio, we've got the beautiful Lara Lenemi, who is one of our
favourite people. Trying to
suck up to me now. Well, I mean, it's after that first comment of saying you didn't have a face for radio. I'm still making up for it.
I know.
I'm just waiting for the comment towards me.
Well, I was going to say, and of course we have the beautiful Simon Nelson.
There we go.
So, Simon, you've actually been on before, haven't you, mate?
I've been a few times, actually, over the years.
Well, it's lovely to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Lara is a student at the University of Bristol, but she is also involved with the University of Bristol's LGBT plus BME Society, and is just generally pretty awesome and a regular on Shout Out, and we love her. We also love Simon. I first encountered Simon because I am a baby to Shout Out at the M Shed when he was giving a lecture on Bayard Rustin, which was pretty awesome. He's a historian, but he is also currently working in HR for Bristol City Council as their diversities and inclusion officer, a greeting from the equalities officer that he was for the past several years, so you may well have seen him around the city, and we felt that they were both pretty qualified to share their opinions on what we need to be talking about when it comes to race in the LGBT plus community.
So race in the LGBT community, well, for me, I'll just start with how I feel when I first came out, it was very hard, obviously, because I had Catholic parents, and being a black person, not to stereotype, but for me personally, it was very difficult thinking, because I never viewed it as a closet until I really, I talked to my mum. I was like, God, this is what it's like to come out. Like, it was so strange for me. And then I got the typical accusations from other, like, all this stuff, and it got harder as it went along, and she obviously threw the race card in there, everything like that, and it was hard for me.
So your own mother was using the race card?
Like, not a race card. Like, I think it's like she didn't. She realizes that because Britain is a predominantly white society, she fears that it's going to be a harder life for me. So she was just pushing those fears on me. So a lot of, I think she's eased off now, but it's a bit of a big question.
I think what I'm hearing is a similar story to my own, and mine goes back quite a way. I'm a lot older, and it's a similar story in the sense that your parents try to protect you from something that they don't understand, but they do understand something else that they have experienced, which is racism. Yeah, that was the issue for my parents, I think. Mm-hmm. when I came out to them was that this is not only going to be tough for you because you're going to experience a degree of hostility, possible homophobia from within your own community, but are you really, really sure that this so-called community that that you are a part of is going to accept you in the same way as those from within your own black community? And that is, I think, still an issue today, and that is primarily, I guess, why we're actually having this conversation.
Yeah, agreed.
I think it's an interesting point as well that you make there, Simon, because I feel like sometimes when people talk about race in the LGBT plus community, they talk about racism by white LGBT plus people to people to people of color outside the LGBT plus community. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's, or at least I've heard, and you know I'm white, so you know I would have, but I've heard less conversation about what happens within the LGBT plus community and about people feeling alienated or disconnected from the rest of us, and how
I think,
that's a problem too.
I think personally, what I've, from my perspective, is that basically what we do is what I've experienced people do is, like, once we get into a minority group like the LGBT society, we're like, okay, we're done, like, we're here, like, we're a minority, we don't, you can't look at us and be like, accuse us of racism, you can't accuse us of any of this because we're a minority, we're oppressed, like, this is the only thing we get, like, so you can't sit here and, like, fire at us. Because no, like, you can't do, that's what I've experienced. Mm. So they don't like being called out because, like, well, and then they instantly go on the back foot acting like you're trying to be like moaning or you're complaining. And they're like, yeah, but I've got my own fight. I've got my own fight. Yeah, everyone has their fight. Everyone, no one's going to like not recognize that. But the problem is when you stop trying to listen to us and make it seem like we're just moaning to you, like trying to create an issue. It's not. There's racism within LGBT society. That is a fact. That has always been a fact. Just because you recognise it or you don't recognise it, that is not our problem.
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, we only need to look at the history. And we have a history that that dates to 50 years since the decriminalisation of homosexuality in this country. So 50 years ago, gay people would have been seen in a certain light. 50 years on, we've had liberalisation, we've had equality legislation, but I still ask the question, how free are gay people? How free are gay people to live their lives? Unless their lives have been normalised to a degree and been accepted within a heteronormative discourse. And in a way, the scene is no different, and in terms of relating that to blackness, my experience has been that often I'm invited to be part of forums, discussions, largely led by white gay men who lead those organizations. And when I bring an opinion, a view, that is not listened to. It's you must listen and you must conform to this narrative. This is the discourse. And that discourse is to turn you more and more towards an accepted part of a gay community, instead of, no, my blackness is the uniqueness, is the difference that I want celebrated. I need that space, and so do other community groups need those spaces to have a conversation that is different. That's all. It's not about getting people to conform. It should never be that. It should be about offering the space to our wider LGBT communities of difference.
No, no, it's fine. See, like, what we did in the university is that we created that space. So this year was the first year that there has been an LGBT plus BME role and for the union. And that was created because we didn't have a space. We never had a space. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's taken 3 years of my university life to even get to this, it's powerful, but it's also upsetting because I didn't even realise as a black person I needed it.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Is it the same feeling for you though that, I mean, the reason I'm being so quiet is because this isn't a subject I know anything about.
No, yeah.
But you do. It's a different experience, but it's no different to the experience that BME individuals face. It's just slightly different.
No one's saying your experience is any less valid. It's not just because of, you can't, it's not saying we can't, you can't comment. It's just a different viewpoint.
Yeah.
Do you know what shocks me a bit is that we're talking about BAME and LGBT people separately. Wouldn't it be just nice that we said, in this room, we are all LGBT plus?
Oh, but I guess
I think
that
comes from privilege, though.
Yeah, I think I have a problem with that in terms of, like, you know, for example, unfortunately, the unfortunate fact, as Lara said, is that right now, if you're a person of color in the LGBT plus community, you are made aware of that whenever you're in an LGBT plus space because of the racism within the LGBT.
Well, that you're a person of color, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And so whether that's like tokenism or whether that is, you know, some people think tokenism is kind of less harmful, but it can be just as harmful to kind of say, well, we've got one person of color, but we need to, and that's enough. And, you know, obviously, like Simon is saying, you know, these things should be celebrated. It's funny to me thinking about stuff like queer theory. It was really interesting that you said about conforming, because obviously, like, ideally, we were talking about non-binary genders last week. Ideally, as queer or LGBT plus people, we are challenging these heteronormative standards, these binary standards. Instead of saying one single thing over another single thing, you're either LGBT or you are a person of color. We're supposed to be, or I hope that we're aiming towards kind of a diverse multiplicity, because we have a multiplicity of experiences, because there are billions of people in the world, and they're all going to have different experiences. And I think something that we need to hear is how different and how beautiful, as well as how painful and important the LGBT plus experience is for people of colour.
You put it brilliantly. In terms of, that's the difficult conversation. It's the conversation people don't want to have, because people go around with guilt, shame, blame, instead of actually turning around and saying, no one wants anyone to feel shame, guilt or blame. We've all experienced that in our own unique way as people of difference and as being of a minority group. So that's why it shocks me that today in our current world, we feel it's okay to have a right-wing gay politician spouting Islamophobia, and that becomes normalised and accepted within a community that 50 years ago would have been imprisoned
all the election stuff that's going on. Can we just clarify that isn't in the UK? Is it?
No, that's what we're talking about here is the Dutch MP, yeah. And I think, but it sends a message. The message here is it acceptable for that sort of language to come from a minority group? And more importantly, what it sends is a message that actually that language, that discourse is acceptable to use. So when we see on web apps and websites information that is derogatory but has become acceptable, so you can say things on gay websites that are racist and it's accepted, that's okay, that language is okay because politicians and others use that language.
Do you think I found is that people love to step on something that's below them. So the reason why I think fundamentally racism will always exist within LGBT society, because humans have this funny way, I'm not saying I know a lot about this, but I feel that whatever they can like push down on, as in make feel even less, as long as it's below them, they feel better about themselves. That is why there's racism, and that is why it won't end, because it's not the matter, it's how we make, like, by being racist to us, by making us feel, putting us in a box and being like, you're only good for this, you're only good for your whatever you can bring, like, that's the only thing you can have, and pushing us down, that makes the LGBT people feel like, oh, well, I'm above something. Like, I'm not saying everyone, but it makes them feel elevated, and that's what I found.
And you think that's because they've been so pushed?
Yeah, it's because
themselves.
We've been so, like, everyone's been so oppressed within the LGBT society. They want to look at something else they can oppress, because it makes it easier for them to feel better about themselves.
I think that, I agree. And I think it is that thing that where it's so much easier to hurt a weak person than it is to fight a strong person. And I think a lot of people in the LGBT plus community need to take a long, hard look at what makes us feel strong and why is it making us feel strong. Is this coming from the place that is the same place that says that we want to move forward? Or is this coming from a place that says it's easier to move backward? And with that, I think we might slightly have run over time.
Yes, yes. You can tell it's a subject that's we're going to have to cover in some depth. We are going to have another conversation later when Sheila's going to be joining us with Lara as well. Yeah. But Simon, thank you very much for joining
us. Thanks. Short but sweet. Love it here.
I'm sure we
back to the sunshine now and a glass of wine. Thanks.
Yes, it's very hot indeed. Go have a nice glass of wine. So, stay with us. New headlines up next.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Capital Cities. 1 minute more. A fascinating conversation, that one. It really was. We'll carry on with that in a little bit. Lara's going to come in with Sheila, and we'll carry that on. But in the meantime, the new team here is a voice we haven't heard in a while. Hello, mm-hmm. Niall.
Hello.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. Glad to be back.
Looking very summery, I have to say.
One has to try.
So, hello, Terry.
Hello.
Right, should we get some news headlines?
You can indeed. Indeed.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday the 1st of June.
Many LGBT people are humanists. That is to say, they follow no religion but subscribe to a set of beliefs in the goodness of humankind and the need for us to work together without faith for a solution to the world's problems. Well, this week the British Humanist Association, an umbrella group for UK humanists, is to change its name to Humanists UK, launching a new logo to go with its new name.
Vinnie O, a makeup artist based in Los Angeles, is, according to internet chatter, trying to pursue a dream of becoming a genderless figure with a deliberately alien look. The 23-year-old has so far spent £60,000 on moving away from the male gender and towards an androgynous look. Vinnie calls the request gender unassignment surgery.
The Church of England's Parliament, the General Synod, is to meet in July and would discuss whether to sign a declaration, already supported by many scientific and secular organisations, which will condemn attempts by fringe extremists to try and reprogram gay people into heterosexuals. Now, such groups are highly marginal in the United Kingdom and have very little public or professional support. However, they can ruin the lives of gay and bisexual people in the fundamentalist Christian community, where they are a cornerstone of anti-gay activism. The motion to the synod has been brought by Jane Ozan.
Gay Star News reports that a unique and groundbreaking charity album is to be released later this month. Rainbow Riots will raise money for the Swedish charity of the same name, an organisation which fights anti-LGBT discrimination. The album features a wide range of queer and queer-friendly artists and will feature genres as diverse as Afrobeat, electropop, soul and classical. Artists from around the globe have contributed to the project, including Jamaican LGBT-friendly rapper Mr. Maja.
Sounds fantastic. Controversial and motor-mouthed columnist Katie Hopkins, known for her transphobic remarks among many other offensive tweets, has been fired by the talk radio network LBC. Though Hopkins had been making remarks for years and defending herself under the flag of free speech, it seemed that she had finally crossed the line last week when she seemed to suggest that Muslims should be rounded up in an echo of the Nazi persecution of Europe's Jews in the 1940s. Media experts claim that staff at LBC hated Hopkins and that there was applause and cheering when it emerged that she would no longer be presenting on the station.
Singer, songwriter and friend of Shoutout Matt Alba is making a docuseries about LGBTQ plus youth, their allies and families, set in Portland, Washington. The series is called Room to Grow and filming for season one is already underway. The entire series will start streaming free on the web just before Christmas so that teenagers and families everywhere who need support can watch it freely.
And finally, bringing together cyclists, environmentalists, road safety campaigners and body image activists, the World Naked Bike Ride comes to Bristol on Sunday, that's the 4th of June. The event aims to show how vulnerable cyclists are in traffic, but is also a celebration of the human body. The organisers say that participants can be as bare as they dare. The event starts at the Full Moon Pub. That's the Full Moon Pub for a naked bike ride. I think that's absolutely wonderful. At the bottom of Stokes Croft from 11 in the morning for body decoration and dressing down before departure at 12 noon for a leisurely ride of around 7 miles. Look out for them.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
And Niall Addicott.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Do you know, I remember when we talked about that last year, it was a full moon as well.
Full
and
moon.
I was sat again.
It's
on
wonderful,
the other side
it?
Of the,
it's so wonderful.
They have
appropriate.
Got to have done that on purpose,
I think
surely.
So. I think it sounds absolutely fantastic. I'll have to look out for them on Sunday.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Are we all Little Mix fans? Do we all like Little Mix? You like Little Mix?
I like Little
you
Mix.
You like Little Mix. How about you, Lara?
No? Yeah, they're great. Oh.
Hello, Sheila. What's your take? Do you like him more?
I gotta say, you know, girl power and everything, but...
I just like the song. That was the reason I stuck that one.
Yeah, well, as long as they help someone or somewhere, I'd good on them. If they empower one girl, then that's their job done, but...
I know someone who actually, is a fan of them, so...
I like that damning indictment, though, about, like, a female, like, popular figure. Oh, well, maybe they've helped one person once. I mean, I'll grant them that.
I don't know.
I do hasten to tell the musical shout out is more so that we can get guests in and out of the studio. So, but I tend to like listen to lots of different music, and if I like something, I just bung it in the show. It doesn't really matter what it is. So
fair enough.
Every now and again, we do get suggestions every now and again, and there are a few local artists around that submit stuff.
Hey,
every now and again, we do try and get them on.
Hey Andy, I request more Pentatonics.
I got told off for playing too much Pentatonics.
No, I always request it because the rest of them out there who are in our green room, some of them don't like it, and it's great. So I always ask for a song because then you're not doing it. I'm asking for
it. I will put Pentatonics in next week's show. Now, anyway, going back to what we were talking about, I'm sorry we kind of cut you short. You know the way the show goes, but it was a very fascinating, in-depth conversation. And for me personally, it was quite a eye-opener, because it's not something that I was even aware of until we started broaching the subject. And Shoutout has always tried to be open. We when we first started, we had no idea how to approach the trans community, and we were very keen to do that, and that's one of the reasons we're doing this now. Lara, we've obviously introduced you, but I want to introduce Sheila and say welcome to Shoutout.
Hey there.
We want you two to kind of help us with this bit. So, okay. Lara, I'm going to hand this over to you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so, Sheila, do you want to... Is there anything about your personal experience that you find within being as a key Tupac person within the Bristol community?
Hang on. Can you just explain what that means?
Key Tupac?
Yeah, because I've never heard of that.
Queer, trans, intersex, people of colour. That's what we prefer to be called, right, instead of, like, B-A-M-E.
Right. Cool. I think doesn't the BAME come from a government official?
Yeah, it's like thing? It's got some people say B means Bristol. Don't even know. Like, it's, some people say it's black.
I thought it was black, Asian, minority ethnic.
Like Bristol BME meant Bristol minority ethnic. So I don't know. But yeah, Sheila, what was your experience?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I think I'm Ugandan born, but I've lived in the UK for most of my life. And so
that sounds like an American accent, though. Is it an American accent?
Yeah, I used to live in the United States as well, in Texas. So I've come from a very religious, very conservative background, and coming out, coming into my own as a person who's bisexual, it was difficult knowing that I held these, you know, these dualities. Being African when you're told that your sexuality is un-African, but at the same time coming to the UK and being black in a white minority, white majority country where racism is rife. So it's been difficult.
Agreed. It's been difficult for me because I've never really felt at home anywhere. So I'd go back to like the Caribbean, and obviously I'm a majority. Woohoo! That's amazing, but I can't be myself. It's just frowned upon heavily. It's not all black communities are like this. Not everyone, but the one I'm personally in is. And it's not so open, it's not so free. And I don't get to be free there.
So before we talk about the white community here, though, is the black community fairly accepting in this country, do you think?
No, not mine. I want to make this a personal thing because I can't speak for everyone. We don't choose to speak for everyone. But personally, it's accepting to the point where you don't tell anyone else. So I can come up to my mum, but I cannot tell the rest of my family, because it's just not something she wants them to know yet. So it's one of those things where you're ashamed of yourself because you can't, you know, you're like embarrassment to your mum, sort of. That's what I feel like. I feel like I'm an embarrassment. So I just keep it quiet. I know some people that have come out to their parents and they love them. They're like, they're completely free. How about you, Sheila?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that obviously it depends on the black community, because there are a lot of different black communities. There are the African black communities, there are the diasporic black communities here, and they all have different takes on homosexuality. And I, speaking from an African background, I would say it's a case where it's really rooted in Christianity, really rooted in religion, and also in the colonial laws put into our countries, which banned homosexuality, and at a time in Uganda actually made it punishable by death. And so coming from that background, it hasn't been very good. But I know that other people have had really accepting, really loving Black families.
And it's not to do with, I think what unfortunate thing is, like, people think it's to do with race, that you're automatically not going to be accepted. No, it's the people. It's personal. Every experience is personal. Just because I'm Black doesn't mean my parents hate me or they don't want me. It might be I'm like, I conform to that, but it's not the necessary thing. So for someone to think that I'm necessarily on the back foot or to think I must have gone through this horrible thing, it's not true. Like, I think what we've got to do, we've got to talk to the person before we assume. And I know everyone judges before they even talk, but it's just, the problem is, if you assume my story, then, like, what's the point of me even telling you?
Yeah, that's the thing, because, like, my parents, they obviously, they found it difficult, but they didn't disown me.
No.
And that's, I think that's the idea that people have.
Yeah.
It's that, like, Black family, you're clearly disowned. Yeah. Your family hates you now. My parents are like, we love you regardless. It's going to be difficult. And it often comes from a place of
fear.
Because obviously being Black, being women, and then
the
adding...
most intersectional, apart from, yeah, ableism.
My experience was obviously 20 years ago from a white perspective. Yeah. Ironically, the first thing my mum says to me is, I want you to see a counsellor so we can get it corrected because I don't want you to have a lower quality of life.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a fear of quality of life. Yeah. I think it is also like my parents are Catholic, so they don't believe in it. They signed... Oh, I don't want to actually say. Yeah, they don't believe in it, as in... Yeah. They believe in live and let love. They will accept gay people. They accept.
We've spoken to a lot of people who things like Jehovah's Witnesses, and they actually get cast out when they come out. And that, you know, so we know religion plays a big part in it. But I'm pretty sure that there'll be some people listening who will be like, "Wow, I wasn't even aware that." I mean, you said racism is rife in this country and in the LGBT plus community, and I know a lot of people that are listening that'll be going, I don't want to be that in our community. You know, we've always prided ourselves on being...
Yeah, but of course, all white people kind of are a bit racist. Yeah. Because, you know, everyone is racist, white people especially, because we're raised in environments with laws and history textbooks and just schools and everything that is designed in a background way. And the first step to, like, moving
point was,
on...
My point was that there will be some people that will be racist and not... realise it.
Oh, yeah. Like,
so what I was going to ask you was, what kind of things do people do that, if they're listening to this, they can be more aware of, for example?
We've come up with a few ideas.
A few pointers.
So, essentially, if we are... I feel like the gay community is quite centred around the nightlife. So, if we're going to go with that... So
it depends how old you are.
Yeah, well, okay.
Hang on, Annalise. I know that that's not true.
So, basically, have more... Like, OMG... That club is a platform for a lot of gay people, a lot of people in the LGBT plus society. So have more nights, like R&B nights or nights that will cater to a wider group of people. It's so unfair to think one shoe fits all. It doesn't.
Yeah, the issue is that OMG, especially if we're talking about that club particularly,
we should point out there are plenty of others.
There are other nightclubs which also decide to only cater to white people. Don't worry, guys, you don't have to look far.
Yes, yeah, don't worry. But if we...
Please worry.
It's about, like... It focuses on white gay men particularly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the demographic. If you think about the drag queens and who they deem as acceptable and attractive, it's always white gay men.
Yeah.
If you listen to the music, it's always the same kind that really only caters to the tastes of very few people.
Yeah, a very select amount of people. Whereas if you want to get...
Well, if I play devil's advocate, is that because that's where the money is?
Yeah, then don't claim to be a diverse club then.
And the money would... And also, hang on, because, like, if we're thinking, like, you know, from the extreme to the ridiculous, like, let's talk about, like, Beyonce and Jay-Z, and let's talk about the fact that, like, there are plenty of, like, Black people, people of colour, who can make a lot of money, and the money would go there if the clubs were playing the music.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's a bit of statistical confirmation bias, you know?
And also, so away from that, Sheila, do you want to say that?
Yeah, so I think a really important part of my journey and a lot of queer people's journeys and a lot of cutie pop people's journeys is arts and the liberation that that offers. Great. And something that Bristol has been really great about, or the parts of Bristol that I've experienced, has been, you know, the veneration of the arts. So if we think of, recently there was the Afro-Metropolis exhibition at the Arnolfini, and that was centering the idea of a utopia in which people of all identities, all genders, all sexualities, they could imagine a future in which they were free, in which their identities were both celebrated and commonplace. And I think having areas and platforms like that, you know, outside of nightlife, outside of, you know, a place where you can get drunk and forget about your sorrows, having a place where you can actually reimagine a future and reimagine a present, where you're not a pariah and you're not weird, and having that area to just, you know, be yourself and to celebrate that, because that's something that we really need to do more of.
I think. Agreed. We definitely need to have a space where it's not centered around drinking. It's not centered around just like everything that's kind of sometimes toxic. We want like everyone to obviously like the utopia. We want everything to be fine, obviously, eventually, but it's not that yet. So we need platforms, we need spaces, we need areas, and not policed by white people. We want areas just for ourselves, and even if like it has to be handed to us in the beginning, at the end of the day, we will get somewhere.
Cool. Well, it sounds like we've got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, you know, start out by consuming media made by Cutie Pock.
Absolutely.
And also just more generally people of colour. If you're a white person listening to this podcast, go and actually pay attention and listen to what people are saying. You just did it. This is a good start.
Educate yourself.
Listen, it's lovely to have you two to talk. And promise me you'll come back again.
Of course.
I know it's one that a few people that are listening are very passionate about, because we've had them contact us when we said we were doing this show. So if you are listening, you want to get in touch, studio at shoutoutradio.lgbt, or just head to our website and click on contact us. Stay with us, we'll be back in a sec.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Leona Lewis and Clive. Do we prefer that one? Is that one a bit better?
Slightly.
Slightly, because she did so much, but no.
I really like her.
No, your music choices sometimes on point, so I can respect it sometimes. Just not little
so
bits.
Nice. So kind of you,
that is me being nice. That is me being nice.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you pick the music 1 week. How's that?
Yes. Oh my gosh. We're going to make
it. I don't think
lit.
You want that carnage.
No, this is a chance.
Yeah,
we're going to
do this. We're going to do it.
Why not?
Can't wait.
Anyway. Almost out of show. Sorry, I didn't think of anything to say in that bit. I've only had like 3 seconds, so I had to do that. So there you go, I filled it, there you go. Anyway, that's it for this week. But if you would like, we would like to know your experiences with regards to today's topic. I'm sure Lara and Sheila are going to help us answer those. So.
Yeah. If you'd like to get in touch with us, just head to our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt, and click on Contact Us.
Next week, it's all getting a little bit military, so join us then. But from myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.